The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Morning. It is currently 20 degrees here at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I am Gabriella Perleblanc, and here are today's headlines. Taxes are going up, maybe a lot. Organized sports are on the decline, and what to look forward in the big debate. The chair of Montreal's executive committee, Dominique Olivier, unveiled the city's properties assessment roll this morning. Property values are expected to go up across Montreal. Zachary Fortier joins us live from City Hall. Zach, by how much will property values be increasing?
Good morning, Gabrielle. I am here live in City Hall, and the numbers I am getting are quite interesting. So across the island, we're seeing rates of escalation between 30 and 40%. This is remarkable considering the last time this evaluation was done, a few years ago, it was much lower, so we can see that property values in Montreal are skyrocketing.
Based on what you're hearing, will taxes be going up as well?
So Dominique Olivier, who is the executive committee chair of the City of Montreal, reassured all the press in the room that taxes will not be going up as drastically or immediately as people think. The city will be conducting a reevaluation and adjustment based on this 30 to 40% hike in property value.
Okay. So when will this take effect?
So this process, thankfully, is not one that is very drastic and quick. It is one that is more gradual. So it will begin taking effect slowly next tax season, and this will last between 2023 and 2025, all based on numbers given on the housing market in July 1st, 2021.
All right. Well, thank you, Zach. Public transit hasn't come up much this upcoming election. As a matter of fact, the ridership of people is below pre-pandemic levels. Will that change? Our reporter, Era Nazirian, looked into the story for us.
After asking people waiting for buses in NDG, it turns out that it isn't an issue in terms of funding, but punctuality, having the buses arrive on time. The STL is inviting party leaders as well as candidates to join Pierre Brabant, member of the STL's board of directors, for a bus ride to discuss the whatabouts of public transit.
I think to have their priorities straight on basically who needs to go where, because and punctuality also, because buses are always late. Like, I left my house 30 minutes earlier this morning and I still came like on time. So I think prioritizing bus schedules are really one of the main things that they really need to work on.
With that, it's pretty clear what the issue is. The buses are not arriving on time. It is rather inconvenient, as many individuals use public transit in the area to attend school and work. We have yet to see what is to be done with this situation. How would the parties respond? I'm Aaron Azarian.
Speaking of public transit, a lot of people got their feet wet in Montreal's metro yesterday due to the heavy rain. Lots of people posted videos of their experiences online yesterday where we can see water in the metro. In fact, the service on the Orange Line got briefly interrupted and Square Victoria OSE station has to stay closed for a little while. Two schools on the South Shore are also closed today due to the flooding, Collège Notre-Dame-de-Lourdes in Longueuil and Collège du Rocher in Saint-Lambert. There's a new study about Quebec's new course Culture and Citizenship in Quebec that will replace the Ethics and Religious program starting 2023. Our reporter, Myrialine Catul, has been looking into this for us. Myrialine, in general, did the RIQ give a positive review on the new course?
Yes, they did give a positive review because the Culture and Citizenship in Quebec has taken out religion out of the course to increase critical thinking. It adjusted an issue that ethics and religious program had faced for many years. I spoke with political analyst Robert Frank, who says it's a generally positive thing.
The reality is that the Quebec education system originated with religion, and particularly with the religious divide between Roman Catholicism and Protestantism. Essentially, each of those two groups had their own separate school boards and taught religion courses for more than a century in public classes. However, over the years, those courses evolved, and in the 1970s, the religion courses taught by the Roman Catholic schools were largely ethics courses in any case. They had information about family planning and other sorts of activities incorporated into the curriculum more than 50 years ago. So really, there is not anything new being invented here. It's merely being formalized.
It may be a positive review, but did they find some problems?
Yes. Even if this course has considerably improved compared to its predecessor, it still faced some issue for believers. Maître François Côté warned the government that they could face judicial contestation with the freedom of religion laws, due to some parents who would like to get their kids exempted for this course.
When will this course be implemented?
Elementary and high school students will be attending this course for the first time on September 2023. However, some teachers are stressed on being ready to teach this new course on time.
Thank you, Miraline. The first Quebec election debate is tomorrow. Although the debate will happen in French, the debate will influence all Quebecers. Our reporter, Corner Tomalti, sat down with political analyst Ethan Cox to discuss the upcoming Quebec provincial debate. Cox said that what is important to watch is the battle for second place.
I think, you know, we're less looking at who's going to win and who's going to be able to form government, because we sort of already know what's going to happen at the top of the line there, and the CAQ are going to win. But what's really interesting to see is which of those three parties that are all clustered together in the mid-teens are going to be able to take advantage of the opportunity this debate presents to push themselves ahead of the other. We're going to have Dominique Anglade and Gabriel Nadeau-Dubois and what's his name, the clown, Duhaime. You know, trying to push to stand out in that debate, and it's going to be really interesting. It's going to be really interesting to see, in particular, I think the Liberals against QS, because a lot of areas that the Liberals take for granted on the west side of the city of Montreal and the Sud-West, those are areas now where QS is really threatening them.
Because of this sort of like, we know CAQ is going to have like the top, they're going to hold that main position, but will the debate truly change anything? And if so, how is that going to change?
I mean, they're not going to change the outcome of the election. Like I said, barring, you know, some massive scandal, there's just no way that Legault is not going to win. But as I said, what's really up for grabs is second place. And so what you're seeing in the debates is all three of these parties. The PQ is screwed. I mean, the PQ is just trying to hang on to one seat if they're lucky. So leaving the PQ aside, you're seeing, you know, the Conservative Party is really on the upswing. QS is really on the upswing. The Liberals are trying to save the furniture. So all three of those parties are really motivated to try and come out ahead of this debate. And that's what the debate may cement is which party ends up coming in.
That was Connor Tomalti speaking with Ethan Cox about tomorrow's election debate. Another thing that is definitely still on people's mind around the election is healthcare, and more precisely COVID. What is new with COVID? Is there anything new with COVID? There's actually a study that came out this morning by the CBC. According to medical specialists, 70 to 80% of younger Canadians have been infected by one of the COVID variants as of this summer. Some experts still insist on younger people getting up to date with the booster shots, while other experts say the most vulnerable, like the elderly, are to remain the priority for booster shot. What does it mean for the future of LACAQ's plans for the upcoming elections? We shall see. The Concordia Stingers play their rivals, the McGill Redbirds, in their upcoming match. Controversy surrounding the Habs News jersey sponsors, the Blue Jays wins to keep their playoffs hopes alive, and a thrilling FC Montreal win guarantees them a playoff home game. Here's Andres Antoine with all of our sports news.
Steen getting caught, comes back here for Kai Kamara! There's another one for Kai Kamara and Montreal!
Kai Kamara cannot stop scoring as his two goals helped lead FC Montreal to a 3-2 win over the Chicago Fire last night. They now sit second in their conference and have secured a playoff home game. It was also campus night at Stade Saputo, where university students were offered reduced tickets and adult beverage prices.
That's a fair ball down the line! Espinal in to score! Zimmer racing around third! The Blue Jays have the lead.
The Toronto Blue Jays battled back to beat the Tampa Bay Rays 7-2 last night to split the series 1-1. With an 80-62 record, they are currently a half game above the Rays and the Seattle Mariners atop the wild card race with 20 games remaining.
We're keeping the long term in mind in everything we do, but at the same time, they feel pretty good about our team and where we're going, and they're just thinking about today and getting better.
The Canadians are looking forward to the start of the season, but there has been some controversy surrounding their new jersey sponsor. Starting this season, spectators will notice an RBC patch on the top left side of the chest, and many people are not happy about changing an original six jersey. It's suggested that the new marketing deal will bring in anywhere between $5 to $10 million in added revenue. Lastly, the 0-2 Concordia Stingers have their homecoming game against the rivals, the McGill Redbirds, who are also 0-3. Kickoff is on Saturday at 2 p.m. at Loyola. That is all with sports.
Thanks, NGS. On a lighter note, there's a new ad going around social media, specifically TikTok, that is going viral. The ad is from Élections Québec. They really have been trying to get the younger demographic to the voting booth for this upcoming October. We saw them making an ad with the corn song, but the one that is blowing up right now is of a voting booth with candles on the booth, and we see a hand putting a rose through the voting slip against the distorted version of Careless Whispers. Lots of people have been doing it, filming their reactions to it, which at the end does create a buzz around the election. We are looking at a mix of sun and clouds for the rest of today, with weather around 21 and 22 degrees. It's sunny tomorrow. It starts to get cloudy on Friday to prepare us for a rainy and cold weekend, with up to 80% chance of rain on Sunday. That's your news to 11:30. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Gabrielle Lapierre-Leblanc.